We're doing Chazon Ish, Emuna u'Bitachon, and we're up to the conclusion of the third chapter. The Chazon Ish had said that there's a weakness that we have, and that is that we like to say that maybe the person who's supposed to give over tradition is partial. They're saying it because they're human, and every person has their own partiality, and the Chafetz Chaim said that you understand you can't learn Torah that way. If you're always going to say everything they're saying stems from partiality, so then there is no truth. It's an easy excuse to escape accepting the tradition, because this rabbi said this because he was partial that way, and that rabbi said that because they were partial that way, and then you end up discarding everything that is the oral tradition. Now, one of the key elements of the oral tradition is that I value those giving it over to be truthful, to give things over with a tremendous accuracy or desire, attempted accuracy, and the truth. The foundation of this approach we find in Tractate Sanhedrin and Moshivin Melech Vekohen Gadol Bibur Shana. So the Talmud tells us when you have to decide about a leap year, so you have to decide whether the lunar calendar, the Jewish calendar, will have an extra month. So you do not involve the king and the Kohen Gadol in that decision. Melech Mishum Afsanya. The king, because it'll cost him a lot more money if it becomes a leap year, so then he has to fund his soldiers another month this year, so he's partial. Kohen Gadol Mishum Tzina. The Kohen Gadol is also partial, because if we make it a leap year, then Yom Kippur falls out later in the solar calendar. And that means that when he has to dunk in the mikvah on Yom Kippur, it ends up being on a later date in the solar calendar. It ends up being much colder. And so the Kohen Gadol is going to be partial. He'll think, I'd much rather not make it a leap year. He won't have that clarity that we desire in deciding whether we should make it a leap year or not. Now that halacha is said about the most righteous of kings. Uvi Kohen Gadol kishimon atzadik. And a Kohen Gadol is as pious as Shimon the Tzaddik, the second Kohen Gadol of the Second Temple. The Odom, who, and furthermore, we find in Tractate Ksubos, Rabbi Yossi ber Rabbi Yehuda, Havragil Arise Dave Maitilei Kol Malei Shabbat Akinta de Peri. He had a sharecropper, Rabbi Yossi ber Rabbi Yehuda, and the deal was the sharecropper would work the field, and every Friday he would bring him a basket of fruit. So he would get a part of the produce, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda got a part of the produce. Yom Achad Aitilei Behei. One day he shows up on Thursday with a basket of fruits. So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda asks him, why'd you show up a day early? He says, well, I figured I could come here anyways. I need you to judge. I have a court case. So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says, I can't judge you anymore. You did me an extra favor. Now I'm no longer impartial. So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda then said, go to a different rabbi. And when he went to another rabbi, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda listened to the court case. And as he listened to the court case, he found himself thinking, gee, my friend the sharecropper could really make an argument like this. And if he wanted to, he could argue like that. And he kept thinking about how right his friend was. And he said to himself, wow, those who accept bribes, should their spirit should explode. Because look at me. I wasn't willing to accept his bribe. I told him, I'm not accepting the gift you brought me a day early. You wanted to benefit me. I'm not accepting it. And I still wouldn't judge him. And even so, I find my mind racing to help him out. So you see how the bribe affected me? So you see in the Talmud, it certainly sounds like every human being can be affected. We all have potential to be partial. So the Chazon Ish says, but a bribe is unique. The acceptance of a bribe is one of the most despicable things. The Torah says it's despicable and disgusting. Says the Chazon Ish, a bribe is unique. In some way, a bribe has that force, the capacity to affect our soul and to blind our eyes. Even if a person's wise, They won't be able to judge correctly. Being that our sages taught that the way Hashem created the world was he wrote up a blueprint, the Torah, and then he created the world. The Torah writes, a bribe will blind a person. A bribe will cause a person to get the decision wrong. That's why the Torah warns us, stay away from it. So you have the partiality that's relevant every minute. You know, I mentioned the story last time we learned the Chazon Ish, that someone called me and asked me a question in the laws of Lashon Hara, and I thought about it for a minute, I thought about it for 2 minutes, and then I said, you have to ask someone else. And he asked me why, and I said, because I'm no longer impartial. I'm so upset at this person that I can't think logically whether you have a right to say it over or not. I can't answer you. I say I can't think logically. I'm too affected. So we have situations where we are nagua, we're affected. Someone comes and asks you, should I donate to Machon Meir? So he's asking you, I had this too. Someone asked me, should I donate to your shul or to a different charity? And I said, ask a different rabbi, don't ask me. I'm partial. I don't want to answer the question. I want you to ask someone else. Because whichever way I go, if I tell them to donate somewhere else because I'm scared I'm partial, but maybe that's the wrong answer. And if I tell them to donate to the shul, well, maybe that's because I'm partial. So it's very hard to see clearly when you know you're affected. I said, ask someone else. I'll give you the name of someone else. You could call and ask. So we all have a certain partiality that's relevant in our lives. And that partiality, sometimes we can overcome. Sometimes we recognize it and we cannot overcome it. But then there's something that's a level more. And that's when someone bribes you. The Torah said that's not the same thing as your partiality. An example of this would be your child does something wrong to someone else's child. Your child does something wrong in school. So you're partial. Your initial thought is you want to protect your child. But right afterwards, most people can think logically and say, my kid is wrong. Most people can overcome their partiality. Comes the Torah and says, but a bribe is much more severe than your partiality. A bribe takes it a step further. Huzman koch tuma b'shochad, the Chazon Ish takes it to spiritual levels. He says a bribe has that defiled force, letamtem alev, to fool the heart, v'lirdom et abinah, and to put our understanding to sleep, v'lanim b'fi adayan lezakot et mishachdo, and suddenly it makes perfect sense, and you don't even sense that you've been bribed. Suddenly you see the other guy's claim is so logical. And the Torah comes and says, you cannot judge such a case. If you're bribed, you can't judge. So if a person says, I can judge the case, even though they bribed me, so then the Torah, so to speak, guarantees him he's going to get it wrong. He's not going to be as smart as he could have been. He's not going to be as honest as he could have been. Even though he's always trying his whole life to be honest, the Torah warned you. You're bribed, don't get involved. And if you say, I don't care, I'm going to get involved anyways, so then the Torah warns you, you're not going to get it right. So the Chazon Ish says, yes, a bribe has the capacity to shift our understanding. And we don't even sense it. But that's why the Torah says, be careful. Don't go there. Because you won't sense where you lost it. The Chazon Ish says a mind-boggling concept. He says, when the Torah says, if you're bribed, you may not rule on the case, that is not something that our logic would accept. Again, we can all understand that a bribe affects us. But let's say you're sitting in court and Jack is suing Jill, okay? Jack says to Jill, your dog came and ate all my daisies and you had no right to let your dog roam and eat my daisies. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, Jill really owes Jack to pay for the daisies. And you're about to give the ruling, and the court adjourns till tomorrow. You walk out of the court case, and as you're walking into the parking lot, Jack says to you, Rabbi, you're such an honest person. I want to give an expression of my appreciation for your honesty. And he slips you an envelope. And it's one of those envelopes which has a little window, and you see a 200 shekel bill there. Now, the daisies were only worth 30 shekel. So you say to yourself, he's not doing this for the daisies. And anyways, just before the court adjourned, I had made up my mind I would rule in his favor, so there's no problem tomorrow morning ruling in Jack's favor, right? Torah says, no, can't rule on the case anymore. He offered you a bribe, halachically you can no longer rule on the case, even if you didn't accept it. He offered you.
Only the offering is already enough.
It's already a bribe. So the Chazon Ish says that's not so logical, because logic would dictate, if you made up your mind before and you come in and say, I know that's what I was going to say, he didn't affect me. Torah says, no, you can't rule anymore. Says the Chazon Ish, that's on the level of a statute. That's not something our logic would say. And the same is true with the inverse. Let's say you decided Jill does not have to pay Jack a penny. And when you walked out of court, Jack slips you the envelope. You pocket the envelope. You want to walk in the next morning and say, Jill, you don't have to pay. No, what's the problem? I made up my mind yesterday. I ruled the way I made up my mind. And the bribe certainly didn't affect me. Torah says, no, you're disqualified from ruling. Says the Chazon Ish, that's a statute. That's not a mishpat. That's not a logical law. Sharei lo asra Torah ora le'atzmo. The Torah says, let's say you have to rule for yourself. You have to rule, is this sukkah kosher? Are you allowed to rule on that question in your own house? My wife calls me up and says, one of the kids took the spoon from the tuna fish, dipped it back into the mayonnaise, took out mayonnaise, and made egg salad. Can we eat the egg salad with the meat on Shabbos? Okay. What's the answer, guys? My wife says, we see pieces of tuna in the egg salad. We see little pieces of tuna. Can we eat it with the meat on Shabbos? Yeah, we don't eat meat and fish. The Talmud says that's dangerous, and Shulchan Aruch says that's one of the places where we go with the Talmud, that if the Talmud says something's dangerous, even though sometimes we say we don't understand the medicine of the Talmud. Talmud says a child needs to be bathed after circumcision, and otherwise it's dangerous for the Talmud. So for about a millennium, we haven't been bathing kids after circumcision because we don't know what the Talmud wants from us. We keep the area clean, but we don't need a bath. We don't need a warm bath. We wouldn't turn on a fire on Shabbos for that. Yet in the days of the Talmud, they said if you don't do that, the child could die. They would desecrate Shabbos for that. That was Pikuach Nefesh. Today, what's the Pikuach Nefesh? Who needs to bathe after circumcision? You could wait a day. Nothing happens. So there are many things like that where the Talmud says it's a danger, and we say, we don't see that in modern medicine. But here, we do go with the Talmud. Here, the Talmud says eating meat and fish is dangerous, and we don't eat meat with fish. So now, am I allowed to answer my wife? The answer is yes. Even though I might be stringent, I might be lenient, the halacha is you're allowed to give halachic ruling in your own home, if you know the halacha. And in this case, by the way, being that you see the pieces of fish, so you don't eat that with meat. So it's mixed in, but my wife says she sees pieces of fish in the egg salad. She says you could see little pieces of tuna. Okay, so if you see it, it's there. You can't eat it with the meat. So the halacha is a person can give a halachic ruling in his own home. A man slaughtered an animal. That animal is worth about 8 or 10,000 shekel. Okay, so now he's going to check if the animal's kosher or not. And he's qualified to check for himself. He's going to give halachic ruling. This animal is kosher, and the whole city's going to eat it. And he's going to make money off that. And he's going to eat it in his own home. Why is he trusted? So you are trusted, but you're partial. It's your money, right? You're allowed to give halachic ruling, even though you're partial. Afi mudal v'kol chayav tluim bo. Let's say he's poor, and it was his last sheep. And now he slaughtered the sheep, and he's giving everyone the meat, and he's selling the meat, and you ask him, is it kosher? And he says, yes. And you ask him, did you check? And he says, yes, everything's kosher. Why is he trusted? He's so partial. That was the last asset he had. And now he's selling it to you, and you eat it, and halacha says you could trust him that it's kosher. Why? So you see that just because we're partial, that doesn't mean we're not trusted. Sometimes we can be trusted. You ask a rabbi, is this chametz mutter? Let's say the rabbi owns a liquor store. And then you come to him after Pesach and you ask him, Rabbi, can I buy your liquor? And he says, sure you can. I sold it to a non-Jew. So now wait a second. How could you trust the rabbi? He stands to gain. He's partial. You're asking him, is it kosher or not kosher? If he says it's kosher, you'll buy in his liquor store. And his $50,000 worth of liquor in the store has value. If you don't trust him, so then no Jew's going to buy his liquor. He's certainly partial. It affects him monetarily, and yet halachically he's trusted. So you see, the Torah does trust a person even when they're partial in other areas, right? וכשיורה להיתר, ואחד הגרגנים יערך רב כי הפסד ממונו את התו, הרי זה מנערים אחרי רבם. Let's say the rabbi ruled, my liquor store is kosher. Chacham Ovadia. They came to him and asked him. They slaughtered chicken under his hechsher. Atara. Okay? So one time, a mistake happened. And the chickens that were not kosher got mixed with the chickens that were kosher. And they hit the market. So now you had over 10,000 chickens on the market, which you weren't sure whether they were from the kosher chicken or non-kosher chicken. So they went to Chacham Ovadia and asked him, what are we supposed to do now? So Chacham Ovadia ruled that it's all kosher. Now, someone will say, sure, Chacham Ovadia ruled that, because if he doesn't, his kashrus goes out the window, and he loses a multi-million-dollar industry. Right? A person might say that. Says the Chazon Ish, if a person says that, then that's one of the people that the Torah says is a person who doesn't trust his own teacher, and then that would be considered an apostate. You shouldn't drink wine that person touched. Wait a second. But Chacham Ovadia is partial. It is a multi-million-dollar industry. You see, the Torah says the concept that we're partial does not mean we're not trusted. We're all partial. Your wife cooks something. And let's say she made a mistake and she mixed the meat with the milk. Do you trust her or don't you trust her? You walk into the house and your wife says, I made a mistake and I don't remember what I did. And I was cooking the chulent. And it might have been with the milchik spoon. And then you say, okay, I'll call the rabbi. You call the rabbi, and the rabbi says, tell me, was there milk on the spoon, or was it just a milchik spoon? And your wife says, no, it was just a milchik spoon. So the rabbi says, okay, then you can eat the Shabbos, enjoy, have a good Shabbos. You get off the phone, and you turn to your wife, and you say, now, honey, wait a second. Are you sure there was no milk on that spoon? Pause. She said there was no milk on the spoon, right?
Yeah.
She did. You say yes, but maybe there was a little bit, and she doesn't want to admit it because then all the chulent's not going to be kosher. Wait a second. But the halacha trusts her. She said it, but she stands to lose. She doesn't want to lose the Shabbos' chulent. Doesn't matter. She told you the truth. She's partial, but we trust her. So this idea, says the Chazon Ish, the idea that you don't trust a person with a bribe is a new concept, because in all of halacha, we are partial. Every question and every verification we make in halacha, we are partial. We have a preference. And yet the halacha says you trust the person. You do trust the person even though they're partial. And if a person were to say, oh, I don't trust the rabbi, he just wanted to make all that money, so then the halacha says that's a person who's not really, he's taken himself out of the fold of the Jewish people. Because you got nothing if you don't trust the tradition. You got nothing.
How he explained that it
Wait, so that's what he's building up. Our confidence is that people are above that. And I gave you a few examples that when I wasn't sure if my partiality was affecting me or not, so I referenced it to another body. We had an argument in our shul. The Gaboim wanted to give me an aliyah. I don't remember which aliyah. Kippur, I don't remember. And I said they should give it to someone else. And they said they should give it to me. And we argued back and forth. And finally I said, no, okay, maybe I'm partial. So we're going to ask someone else. I told them the name of the rabbi. I said, call him. And whatever he says, we'll do. Because sometimes you're partial the other way, right? So if you see you're partial, so part of being honest is putting the cards on the table. Maybe I'm partial. Let's ask someone else. ולא יחשדו בם אל הקטני הדת, נהדרי בינה, אשר לא ידעו ולא הבינו נפש משכיל. And the only person who would suspect those who give us tradition is people who don't really understand, they don't have understanding, and they don't understand what it means to be someone who takes the responsibility of giving over tradition. So the Chazon Ish says, this idea that we say when you've received the bribe, you're not trusted, that's a new concept. Because ordinarily, every shaila that comes in has a certain element of partiality. And you have to trust that the person who's representing halacha is telling the truth. And that could be you and that could be your wife. When you ask a shaila, so then we trust you that you're giving the information accurately. Are you partial? So what? We still trust you. In monetary matters, it becomes different. There the Torah says, we don't trust you. We don't trust the rabbi if he's bribed. There the Torah says, you can't give a court case over. Both sides have to give the court case over. You have a court case with your neighbor, both of you have to show up to the rabbi together. You can't just give your side of the story. Okay, so that's step one. The Chazon Ish is in the middle of developing this idea of how we view a bribe and partiality. We're in the middle. We'll pick up Ezrat Hashem next.